This week on What's Up Welland, we get to play in a garden. Our friends from the Niagara Peninsula Conservation Authority, Carrie Royer, Community Outreach and Engagement Specialist, and Erica Navarro, Communications and Marketing Specialist, are joining us. Mark, do you want to give the tip or the heads up on what this conversation is about this week?
Yeah, Paul. Well, first and foremost, we're going to be talking about the pollinator garden that was just planted, I guess, at the new Sparrow Meadows Park, which is... I'm not going to tell you what a pollinator garden is right now, because that's why we have Carrie and Erica joining us today to do that.
Do you even know what a pollinator garden is?
I do.
Okay.
I do. I did my homework before the episode. It's exciting because, you know, the MPCA, they are partners in our community. They do more, of course, than just plant pollinator gardens. So it's great to have them join us to talk a little bit about the pollinator garden, but just, you know, what they do in general.
All right, I say let's get to what Carrie and Erica have to bring. Today, we have the pleasure of speaking with Carrie Royer, Community Outreach and Engagement Specialist, and Erica Navarro, Communications and Marketing Specialist with the Niagara Peninsula Conservation Authority. With two specialists in the room, we are sure to have a fantastic conversation. Carrie, Erica, thank you so much for joining the What's Up Welland conversation.
Thanks for having us.
We're so happy to be here for the second time in a row.
So we are talking today about a pollinator garden that has just been planted at Sparrow Meadows Park right here in Welland. What is a pollinator garden? What's the purpose of our conversation today? Please dig in, pun intended.
Thanks, Paul. So pollinator garden is a garden that is specifically planted to attract pollinators. And pollinators are insects, mammals, and birds that move from one plant to the other and essentially are moving the pollen from one plant to the other, allowing the plants to reproduce, produce flowers, produce fruit, things like that. So pollinator garden is food and forage for those pollinators. And so the pollinator garden that we planted here in Welland is full of wonderful native wildflowers, grasses, shrubs, and trees that will attract those pollinators and hopefully contribute to having them have enough food so that they can go on and pollinate things like food crops and things like that.
So you mentioned native plants. Mm-hmm. What are we talking about when we hear the term native plant? And why are they important, especially, and we'll put them in the context of a pollinator garden?
Sure. Thanks, Mark. That's a question that we get really often. So a native plant is any plant that is naturally occurring here. It was here prior to human settlement. They were not brought over here. They were not, you know, purposefully moved here. They didn't arrive here by accident because somebody had it in their garden and the seed spread. They were naturally occurring in this area prior to people being here. And so they are, you know, the seed source is, and the food is the best for our native wildlife, insects, things like that. It's like they're, you know, comfort food, the food that they're used to. They know which things are poisonous and not poisonous and all that sort of thing. So the plants that are native to this area, it's a very specific seed zone. So there are things that are native to Ontario or to Canada, but in fact, we look for plants that are specifically native to the Niagara watershed when we're looking for plants to plant in pollinator gardens. There are over 165 different species of just bees that live in this area, and some of them are really generalists, so they'll eat kind of anything, and then other ones are really, really specific and fussy about what they eat, so they only eat certain species, certain types of plants. And so when you're planting a pollinator garden, you kind of have to keep all those things in mind, and using plants that have different shapes and different colors. Some of them like, you know, plants that are open, some of them like the little bell-shaped ones that they have to go inside. So every, you know, it's good to have a great diversity when you're planting a pollinator garden.
I had no idea that there were that many species of bees here in Niagara, let alone in general. But two things. One, I love that they also have comfort food, much like us humans. And two, bees are almost like kids. Some are picky eaters and some will just, like, as you said, are generalists.
Absolutely.
And will go for anything.
Yeah.
So how great, though, that you, and I say you as the MPCA, have that understanding and the expertise to know what native plants are required in these areas, mm-hmm. to help sustain and fulfill I'll say the appetites of our buzzing little friends.
Yeah. And like that really just kind of speaks to us working collaboratively with like local academia. So like the reason I know that 165 bees live in Niagara is because of, you know, research going on at Brock University where they're studying native bees and populations, and you know, those reports are shared out to us, and then we kind of have a good idea when we're doing these pollinator gardens what we should be planting to kind of encourage those native bees.
Before we get into the project that this pollinator garden fits within, you mentioned academia, you mentioned the familiarity with the bees, familiarity with what is native to here. Sounds like this is important to the NPCA. Beyond pollinator gardens and working with academic institutions, is there anything else, or what else does the NPCA do to really promote native plants, native gardens, this type of growth here in Niagara, in this watershed?
Do you want to take that one on there?
Sure. So we started actually promoting anything to do with native plants and pollinator gardens through the work that Carrie does. And the team was actually once quite small, but it is growing. You'll find us talking about pollinator gardens and native plants anywhere from, you know, presentations at local libraries. We've done a lot of presentations lately in seniors' homes. They're a really great engaged audience. There's a lot of ponds, gardens where they live. So this is a particular great interest for them. And in general, we have a lot of great publications, one of them being the Native Plant Guide, with any resident that's interested in learning more about native plants and pollinator gardens can download it on our website at npca.ca. Or if they pop by the office, and actually we're going to leave some here. So if anybody listening right now is interested in coming, get in touch with these guys and they'll get you a couple copies of these Native Plant Guide. It's really quite a big booklet, but it's got everything that you need to know as far as pollinator gardens and native plants goes, how to take care of them, and of course, why they're so important. If you see Carrie and her awesome team at any community events, they'll be for sure talking pollinator gardens and native plants. We also have created this little seed pack, which is almost like a starter pack. If you want to create your own little garden, whether you live in a small space or a big space, it's going to be great for you. And most importantly as well, we also use it in the work that we do through our restoration. The NPCA has a great restoration grant program focused in working with private landowners, and we use native plants only. As well as in our conservation area. So any restoration or any project that we do in general across every single department will use native plants only.
So with native plants being such a significant part of the NPCA, and as I mentioned, this garden is part of a larger project that exists through the NPCA. It's the Mickey DeFruscio and Family Legacy Project. What is this project all about, and how do these pollinator gardens factor into it? How many, now that this garden's here in Welland, how many of these gardens exist?
Well, there's nothing better than being able to talk about Mickey. Mickey was a great man. The Sparrow Meadows Pollinator Garden is the newest addition to the Mickey DeFruscio and Family Legacy Project Pollinator Gardens. So the project kicked off in 2017, and it was due to Mickey's great work. He loved the monarch butterfly, and he knew that there was a major decrease in habitat for pollinators in general. He grew a bunch of plants at home,
The milkweed,
sure. Yeah, and would donate it to neighbors, to anybody that was interested in using the milkweed, to ensure that these plants were available for all pollinators. Fast forward to today, we have now about 13 pollinator gardens altogether. They are the Mickey DeFruscio Gardens, otherwise known as just Mickey Gardens internally, usually. And 13 of those, so now we're going on about two per year, which was originally the goal. But right now we're just happy to work with any partner, whether that's a municipality, a community group, a business who wants to create a pollinator garden in their property, or they know of a property that would be a good fit for a pollinator garden, then we're definitely happy to work with them. And of course, we love to promote the work of Mickey. Mickey was a board member of the NPCA board, and he served on the board for 25 years. He passed now going on 2 years ago. So it's a great honor to be able to share this work that was started once by him.
Well, what a wonderful legacy, you know, left by Mickey and by the people who are continuing that forward, the work that he was doing and the passion that he had. And again, we saw it at the event that was held here in Welland at Sparrow Meadows Park, the people who came out and gave their time, you know, to create this new pollinator garden. What a fantastic, just, you know, memory and you know, tangible to have in our communities. And so these gardens are throughout Niagara. Is there one in every municipality, or is that the goal moving forward to say, hey, we're going to get, you know, all, well, I'll say 12, I was going to say 13, because the region is, is considered in that as well. But
absolutely. So there are 13 of them. I believe there are now in every municipality. There are some, I think, duplicates in some municipalities. But there isn't a formal agreement. There isn't any of that. I mean, reach out to us if you're interested. If you're a municipality or a business organization, reach out to Carrie and her awesome team, and we'll get working on these. The goal is to have them in every municipality, right? There's a lot of space. There is cemeteries. There's all sorts of public space that can be used, as well as private land, of course. But these are great, not just for the pollinators, but they're beautiful to look at and they're beautiful for the community to enjoy. So you get that educational piece, you get that recreational piece, and of course you're benefiting the environment. So it's a win for everybody.
So we're winding down with summer. We were talking a little bit earlier about the burning hot week that was the first week of September, and we're starting to see some cooler temperatures now. But just as September wanes on and we move into October and the fall, our gardens at home are starting to close up and we're getting ready to put them to bed for the winter. What do people need to know about preparing their gardens for that change of season? Or is there anything that can be done or should be done now as we prepare for those cooler temperatures?
Absolutely. There's lots of things that can be done as, you know, we've sort of talked around the native plants being, you know, evolved here. So they're used to the fact that we have winter. They're used to the fact that we have wet springs and all those things that are the climate here in Niagara. And so when it comes to, you know, preparing for the winter, they're already kind of doing that internal process too, of kind of getting ready for dormancy. But when we have gardens and our own properties and public spaces and things like that, one of the things that I always encourage in the fall is to just kind of leave things messy. A lot of people like to kind of get a head start on the spring cleanup and start cleaning out the leaf litter and that kind of stuff as it accumulates in their garden. But in fact, all that leaf litter is helping all those little creatures that need somewhere to go to shelter from the snow, from the cold temperatures. If you clean it and it's barren, those times like we've seen in the last few years now, we don't get, you know, a snow blanket that lasts for the whole winter. It comes and it melts and it comes and it melts and it comes and it melts. And so then those creatures are like exposed to frost and all those things. So when we leave that messy leaf litter, leave the stems, that's really important as well. A lot of these little native bees are not, like a lot of people think that every bee lives in a hive and they live socially. A lot of native bees are eusocial, so they don't live with other bees. And so they find these hollow stems of plants and things that were left behind, and that's where they go in over winter. So by leaving the stems, leaving the leaf litter, you're leaving all these nooks and crannies for things to kind of get in and find some shelter from those cold temperatures. And the fall is actually a great time to plant as well. So if you get before the frost, right, the fall is a great time. If anybody's been kind of humming and hawing about adding native plants to their garden, there are some local native plant suppliers here, and it's a great time to go and buy some perennials and get them in the ground so that by the springtime, you've already got some new native plants. If I can encourage anybody to do anything, it's just to even add one native plant. A lot of, you know, people get kind of this feeling like they have to change their whole garden to native plants if they want to do something for the environment. And really just adding one native plant at a time is a huge help. And you'll start to see the benefits of that. You'll start to see all the insects and the things that come and visit your plants. So one thing I didn't really say earlier with native plants is that there's a lot of misconceptions sometimes about what a native plant is and isn't. And there are, in fact, a lot of cultivars that are sold that are hybrids or, you know, genetically modified versions of native plants that are sold as native plants. Like you can go buy a butterfly milkweed at any garden center, but whether that seed came locally from the Niagara region, we don't know, because butterfly milkweed grows in lots of different places. So it's really important when you're looking to add native plants to look for a local native plant supplier. And the NPCA has a list on our website of where those suppliers are.
So we've said the word native plants a lot, and you just said the word cultivar, and what we've talked milkweed a little bit. What are some just... what are the native plant names that people would recognize, that people would know if they are looking to plant, or just knowing the plant names of things? What are those local in Niagara native plants that we've said the word around? But let's get hyper-specific on some of those.
For sure. Yeah, I can absolutely give you some examples. So one of the native plants that's familiar to a lot of folks that like to garden is like a brown-eyed Susan or a black-eyed Susan. Monarda species, so a bee balm is another local native plant. And there's all kinds of native woodland, like woodland sunflowers. There's native sunflowers. There's native lobelia. So a lot of people know like a great lobelia or cardinal flower. Those are native plants. Foxglove beard tongue is another example. It's a pretty little white flower that the bees really like to kind of get right in there and use that plant. There are, you know, thousands of native plants. When you start looking at things like shrubs, dogwood is a huge, you know, species around here. There's five or six different varieties of dogwood, some that grow in wet areas, some that grow in dry areas. For trees, right now, well, with the oak wilt around, we're not always encouraging people to plant oak, but they are one of the most beneficial species to local wildlife, both for, you know, mammals that use their acorns, right down to little weevils and moths and things like that that lay their eggs there. So oaks are another big one. Maples, sometimes, you know, you go to a garden center or something and you buy a autumn blaze or a crimson king maple, and really... there are even maple trees that are not native to Niagara. So just kind of do your research before you go buy the, you know, especially with a tree, you're kind of spending a lot of money when you're going to buy a tree. Do some research ahead of time to find out what species are local here before you go and spend $300 or $400 on a big tree that may not be native and not as beneficial as something that is, you know, something that could be used by local wildlife.
And with all of those things, I'll just go back to the booklet that you've made available for us. Like, just flipping through the pages, great information in here, right? And it talks about, you know, the different conditions, whether it's a wetter spot or dry spot, sunny, no sun, shade, etc. And again, just, you know, the habitats for these native plants and trees, but also the wildlife value. I think that's fascinating, just to kind of see and the range, right? What it can do for the wildlife and the species that might come visit your garden if you do plant one of those trees. So certainly, you know, again, before you hit the garden center, check it out for sure.
I was going to say, get your hands on a booklet. It's one of those, we still every year struggle with the decision, like, do we print it or do we not print it? But it is like, if we sold it, it would sell out, but it's free. And that's like the greatest thing, right? You can mm-hmm. grab a copy of it. It's still a pretty thick booklet, but once you have that, you have everything you need to go nuts and create your pollinator garden.
And I think the booklet is kind of like field guides. People like having mm-hmm. something in their hand, right? We do have an electronic version of it that people can download, but when I'm out in the garden, I like to have a book in my hand, or, you know, being able to kind of look and reference it. The nice thing with these plants is that it doesn't matter what the conditions are on your property, there's likely a native plant. Like, a lot of people are like, oh my God, I have this shady wet spot. Well, there are things that can grow there. So it's nice that there's different, that's why we laid it out the way we did, so that, you know, people can kind of pick it up, and even if they're not a gardener expert, they can pick it up and say, okay, I got a dry, sunny location. These are the things that will survive there.
So as we kind of round out our conversation today, the NPCA, very active within the community, very active with their volunteer base and the things that are going on. Tell us a little bit about what's coming up, what's happening, how can people get involved? What do they need to know before they reach out to you, if anything, or just, you know, kind of that general elevator pitch to the community, to let them know what you're doing and how they might be able to join you.
Elevator pitch. Does that mean I have to be short?
It doesn't. It doesn't, Erica. You know what? It's, you know, we're going to put your comm skills to the test here. So we'll get the stopwatch out.
Absolutely. So I think that our greatest resource is our website. Anybody that's interested in getting involved with the work of the MPCA or even just pollinator gardens and native plant native plants, they can go on our website, npca.ca. The venue has all sorts of different categories where they can figure out, depending on their interest, what it is that they want to get involved in. We have a variety of events. So npca.ca/events, you'll see the list of all fantastic events coming up, from community plantings where we need volunteers to our upcoming Reawakening event, which is an Indigenous relations, an experience for community members to learn and reflect in leading into National Day for Truth and Reconciliation. And that's on September 23rd. So you'll see that on our events page. And of course, we have the Balls Falls Thanksgiving Festival, which is going into its 49th season, bigger and better as every year. So we definitely welcome folks to come and check it out. It's on October 6th to the 9th.
Or volunteer.
And volunteer, yes. Do both, right? And then you can get in and volunteer. And you get a beautiful shirt and lanyard and all sorts of different swag. We also encourage people to get involved with our work through our online engagement portal, and that's getinvolved.mpca.ca. And there, those are more of the public consultation, more of the projects that are ongoing year round. Some of them switch up throughout the year, but that's kind of the home hub to all of our major projects. Recently, I don't know if you're familiar with the Trees for All program. So it was a campaign that launched earlier this year to engage private landowners to register their property if they were interested in whether it was planting 2 trees or 500 plus trees. And we got about 700 plus landowners in general, a lot of them coming from Welland. And I know that we're in the process of sort of categorizing those projects and those plantings, but we are going to be doing another call out for landowner application in the spring of 2024. And then the other project that's related to Welland is the Lions Creek East sediment cleanup project, which they'll find on the website. It's a portion of Lions Creek that has historic PCBs contamination, and we're looking to make decisions on a different cleanup option where we want the public to get involved and provide their feedback. So again, all that can be found on getinvolved.mpca.ca on our website, events. Definitely get involved, come on, volunteer, because there is a limitless options and number of volunteer opportunities. And essentially, if you have an idea, if you want to do something, pitch it to Carrie and she'll figure out how to put you where you put you to work. Exactly.
So for people listening, obviously they weren't able to see you just now, Erica, but not once in rattling off all of those dates and websites and numbers did you look at notes. And I think that that's one of the key things, and Carrie, you did this a lot too with the information that you shared, but it's one of the key things that I think really highlights the passion and knowledge and skill set and expertise that people have in their fields and with their organizations when they're able to do that, because it's not just a list of events and dates that you're putting a check mark next to. It's things that you can tell in speaking and the way you talk about it that you do have a connection to. So again, I think when we're talking about the MPCA and the work that is being done through your organization, the way you speak about it, the way you're able to, I don't want to say rattle off because that sounds not quite what I'm going for, but it just very impressive. And you know, so for anybody looking to volunteer and get involved, this is a testament to the type of people and the organization that you are getting involved with. So, Carrie, Erica, thank you both so much for joining us today. I have no doubts that people will have found much of what was said, if not all of it, very informative, probably quite new. These booklets, the native plants, I'm taking this home. I've got to redo my garden soon. So, oh, look, I can get in some seeds now too. So I am set. And I love the fact that I can use this conversation as rationale for not raking up some of my leaves this fall and instead doing something that isn't outside yard work. So to wrap it up, Carrie, Erica, thank you both so much for joining us today.
Thank you for inviting us.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
So thank you again to Carrie and Erica for a fantastic conversation today, really opening up, well, my eyes anyway, I won't speak for you, Paul, just about, you know, A, the different thing about pollinator gardens, but I kind of got stuck on the fall cleanup, or in some cases, the lack thereof this year, especially in my household. I'm going to leave a few extra leaves cluttered around the yard, because apparently that is a good thing. So a little less work for me this fall, which I'm very excited about, but for good reason. And then the other thing, and I can't stop looking at this book. It's absolutely fantastic. It's The Guide to Celebrate Niagara Peninsula's Native Plants. And really, check this out if you have a chance, because it really has a ton of great information from the habitats, descriptions, to the wildlife value. And over and above that, it's just fascinating to see all the different native plants here in Niagara.
And as Erica mentioned, the best thing about that book is it's free. It is a valuable guide, and there is no cost to it. And you can pick it up from the NPCA. We've got copies here at our main branch library. And yeah, you're right. It is a pretty fantastic resource. And it really dives into all things native plants, which I had some awareness of before we got this conversation going, but just realizing how vital a role they play in our ecosystem here, that a plant is not just a plant. There are certain plants that will grow and thrive and support the bugs, the birds, the bees.
The birds and the bees,
everything that lives here in Niagara, that helps our plants, that helps food, that helps things grow. It was just, yeah, fascinating conversation, and fascinating to learn what goes into the thinking behind something like a community garden, in that sense that a plant is not just a plant. They don't just put things out there for the sake of it looks pretty. There's purpose. They've worked with academic institutions to figure out what is the science behind what they're doing and why they're doing it. And we covered so much ground in the conversation. I like that we ended on how involved in the community the NPCA is with the volunteering efforts, with the events, with year-round, what they do, how they draw the community into participating in what goes on throughout our watershed. So again, I'm echoing you, Mark, on saying a huge thanks to Erica and Carrie. I have no doubt after this conversation that they will definitely be back, or others from the NPCA will be back, because there is so much to dig into with them year round. NPCA was on with us last year. NPCA will be on in the future. And for that episode last year, and for all of our past, future, everything episodes, go to engagewellin.ca/podcast. And as always, we will catch you again soon.